Parshas Toiles, good chodesh to all. One of the puzzling episodes in this parasha, and really in all of Sefer Bereishis, is of course the mechira of the bechira. How Esau sold, or it seemed to be almost, was coerced into selling the firstborn rights to Yaakov Avinu. And there are some very obvious questions, some of them we've actually discussed in the past. In the main, Yaakov is of course the Ish Emes. Emes le Yaakov, this is Yaakov's whole mantra in life, and yet this episode in which he managed to convince Esau to relinquish his rights to the Bechira for a bowl of lentil soup doesn't seem Bechira in fitting with the Mid of Emes, Yaakovinu personified. More so, the Ran, in his Sefer Droshes HaRan, the Ran asks, it seems strange Bechlau that Yaakov should want to take away the Bechira in the first place. Zero Oshir, Asameh, Bechalkoi, whatever's given to you is given to you, what somebody else is somebody else. He was jealous, he wanted to take away something that was by rights Esav. Seems very, very bizarre. Another question that is discussed by the Mefarshim is that a halachic question, really. We know there's a principle of oino'o. You cannot under or overcharge for an item. And we all agree that the price of bechira, if it could be sold at all, is definitely not a bowl of lentil soup. Therefore, the whole sale seems to be invalid based on halachic grounds. So in the past we've discussed this, and we mentioned the yesod of Chaim Shmulevitz and others, that the value of any mitzvah is really in accordance with how much you value it. And if that's what he valued it, that was the true value. But either way, this is a question again which is posed by the Droshes HaRan. The whole sale seems to be completely imbalanced. The bowl of soup for Bechira, which was eternity, serving the Beis Hamikdash, firstborn rights. The Ran continues and says, so you'll tell me that Esav was misguided and didn't appreciate what Bechira really was. So why didn't Yaakov explain to him what it was? Seems a bit unfair to take advantage. Imagine somebody owns a diamond. And he doesn't realize it's a diamond and he thinks it's a piece of plastic. So here, I'll buy it for $5. What are you going to say? That's a fair sale because he thinks it's only worth $5. That's hardly unfair. You're taking advantage of him. You should explain to him that actually it's not a piece of plastic. It's worth millions because it's a diamond. We don't find that Yaakov Avinu in any way explains to Esav what the Bechira was all about. Rashi tells us, he says, what do I need this Bechira for? Lomos, there's all lots of Isurim, and you can't do this and you can't do that, and I have to only serve in the Beis Hamikdash, how difficult life is going to be, it's not worth it. So why didn't Yaakov sit down with Esav and explain to him what Bechira was all about, rather than take advantage of Esav's misunderstanding and total misconception of what Bechira was, and therefore managed to riddle it out of him? It hardly seems emes and hardly seems fair. The parasha of the Bechira concludes with the final words, Vayivez Esav es ha-Bechira. And Esav scorned, or he spurned, the whole issue of the birthright of the Bechira. In what way was he mevaza the Bechira? How was he mevaza it? So the simple understanding is, of course, or the very fact he was willing to trade it off for a bowl of lentil soup, that is the bizoin of the Bechira. But if that would be the case, then why is the Torah pointing this out? I mean, it's self-explanatory. You see that from the story. What is the Torah adding when it says, in conclusion, Vayivez Esav es ha-Bechira? That's totally self-evident from the story. So there's a lot of big question marks that need to be addressed. Again, number one, how is this in fitting with the whole Midah of Emes? Is Bechira Bechlal something that can be sold? It's also a halachic discussion. You can't, if I'm a Kohen, I can't sell to you the ability to be a Kohen. Either you are or you aren't. So what was it with the Bechira that could be sold? That's also halachic Shaila. Isn't it a halachic issue of Oino'o? Why did Yaakov not explain to Esav what it was all about? And then finally, why does the Torah conclude this episode with the words Vayivez Esav es ha-Bechira, and Esav was mevaze the Bechira? What is that teaching us? So the Ran in his drashas, this is Drash Hasheni, says the following very novel approach, but it's a very important approach. And the Ram says as follows. Let's understand the backdrop to this story, because there's a background to this story. Chazal tell us, and Rashi quotes it, that what was going on that day? There was something else very significant that happened on that day, and that Avraham Avinu had just passed away. In fact, that's why Yaakov was busy boiling up lentil soup in the first place. That we know is the Suda of the Havra'ah. The first Suda for the Ovel is the Suda of Havra'ah, and it's traditional. Halacha says that as well. You give him foods which are round, for various different reasons, won't get involved now, of which lentils are the prime example. So that's why he was cooking lentil soup in the first place. In which case, says the Ram, let's just picture the scene over here. Esav's father, Yitzchak, is sitting Shiva. He's just lost his Rebbe, he's just lost his father, Avraham Avinu. Esav is to be found where? Not a care in the world, out in the forest, involved in his hobby of hunting animals, whilst his father's busy sitting Shiva, having just lost his own father. Says the Ran, how can that be? Loi nishbar liboy. Why was his heart not broken about the avelus of Yitzchak, his father sitting Shiva? Avaloi, he says, kachoser leiv, devoid, heartless, couldn't care less. What was he busy with? His asik basodeh. He went into the field b'shigoynoisov with his madness. That's how the Ran writes it. His father sitting Shiva. His grandfather's just passed away, not in the slightest remotely interested. Says the Ram, do you know something? What is Bechaira all about? We know the Bechaira gets double portion. We know that the younger brothers have to respect the oldest brother. Kabid Es. Avicha ve'esimecha. What do we learn from the word Es? You've got to respect your oldest brother. Why is that? So Chazal explained, because the Bechayr is, as it were, the Mamshich. He is the continuation of the father. The father invests all his efforts, as it were, into his oldest, because he sees in him as the future. He is the Mamshich Darkon. He is the one who ultimately is going to carry the name of the father. Therefore, he is in place of the father. It's only right, therefore, just as you have to respect your father, you have to respect your eldest brother as well. That's the way the Ran explains. Says the Ran, if Esav couldn't express a care in the world about the covers of his own father, then that's completely antithetical to the whole concept of Bechira. The whole notion of the Bechira is that what? I am proud to carry my father's name. I am the future. I am the Mamshich Darkoi. What a privilege it is to be carrying my father's name and to be able to perpetuate his legacy. But if whilst his own father was sitting Shiva, he went into the forest to hunt animals, so what does Esav clearly show? That he is totally incompatible to Bechira. So it wasn't just a notion of, let's just sit down round the table and explain to you what Bechayr was all about, because clearly there's a piece of information that you are missing. No, it was far more deep-rooted than that. There was a total incompatibility. You are ineligible to be the Bechayr. Because the Bechayr, by very definition, worries about his father's kavod, because at the end of the day, he is the Mamshech, he is the continuation of his father. But whilst his father sits in Shiva, he goes and takes care of his hobbies, hunting animals in the forest, that couldn't be further removed from the whole notion of Bechira. So therefore, Yaakov says to him, Michra, remember the Lashon of the Pasuk? Michra Kayoin. Sell to me your Bechira like today. What does that mean, like today? Some of Roshim explain me, like the day is clear, it should be a clear sale. But the Ran explains, no. Michra Kayoim, look what's happened today and understand that you're totally incompatible with Bechira. Look at what you've been involved with today. Your father sitting Shiva and you're busy running around having fun. Is that covered for your father? So that shows that you are interested to perpetuate his legacy, his name, his morals, his standards. No, you couldn't care less. So Michra Kayoin, you have really opted out of Bechayra. In other words, it's not so much a halachic sale, as it were. Rather, you have proved yourself ineligible and incompatible to the Bechayra. Which, by the way, definitely needs explanation. Because surely Esav is the one that we do find in the parasha who's Mechabed Av. And that's really what Yaakov was trying to show him, that clearly it's all superficial. Because when push comes to shove, when your father needed you most, when you were sitting Shiva, where were you to be found? In the forest. So you've opted out of Bechayra. It wasn't so much, and therefore says the Ran, the question, for example, is it Oino, is it underpriced, is it overpriced, is all irrelevant. He's ineligible to be Bechayra in the first place. Therefore, says Yaakov, I am concerned with the covers of my father. And if I'm the one who's concerned with the covers of my father, it's only right that I should be the one to be the Bechayra. And says the Ran, therefore all the questions are answered. Yaakov is the Midas for Emes. How is it that he deceived in a very sly fashion? He didn't deceive anybody. Esav opted out of Bechayra. Wasn't the sale invalid because it's underpriced or overpriced? No, it's not, because Esav was totally incompatible to the Bechayra. And why didn't Yaakov perhaps try and explain to him what Bechayra was all about? It wasn't a piece of information that was missing. It wasn't a lack of knowledge. It was an ineligibility to be Bechayra. Says the Ran, that's what the Torah is telling you in conclusion. Vayivez Esav esa Bechayra. He spurns the Bechayra, not by the fact that he was willing to sell it off for a bowl of lentil soup. Rather, the Torah is telling me, if you want to know why all of this took effect, it's because Vayivez Esav esa Bechayra, he spurned the Bechayra. His whole behavior was the opposite of what Bechayra preaches. Bechayra tells you that you are the proud Mamshich Darkei of the Father. He clearly was the opposite. And that's what the Torah is telling you. Not that if you are willing to give up Bechayra for a bowl of lentil soup, that's the Bezoyin. No. The Bezoyin preempted that. The Bezoyin was when he was sitting in the forest hunting deer, rather than taking care of his father in his moments of need. And that's why this whole sale could take effect. Now, interestingly, Rabbeinu Bachai, later on in this very parasha, points out something absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. There is a whole parasha, which we're not going to get involved with now, of the Be'eros. Also, a troubling parasha, the Torah is very marich. They dug a Be'er, and they filled it, and they renamed it, and there was another Be'er, and they refilled it, and it was redug. A whole long parasha. What is this parasha teaching us? So the Ramban, Kiyadua, tells us there's Dvarim Amukim, the three wells are connected, the three Botei Mikdosh, etc., etc., etc. Says Rabbeinu Bachai the following. Rabbeinu Bachai says, if you look in the Psukim say that when the wells were filled, and therefore rendered unusable, and Yitzchak went and redug them, and then named them. But what did he name them? Says the Torah, he named them exactly the same names as his father did. That's a Bechayra. That is the emes being mamshich, the Messiah of the father, rather than we're in a new age, and I've redug them, we can forget the past. No. He didn't rename them. He named them the same names that his father named them. Says the Rabbeinu Bachai, do you know why he did that? V'kora lohen, and he called them kashemois, those very names, ashekora lohen ovid, that his father initially called them. Do you know why? V'osokein lichvoid ovid. Kibud Av. Kibud Av. So he says in conclusion, how important this is as a lesson. Sha'al yeshane odom. This teaches us, and therefore this in the opinion of Rabbeinu Bachai is what the whole parasha is about. Not to deviate miderech avoisov. Says Rabbeinu Bachai in conclusion the most fascinating thing. He says, maybe. V'ulai. Yitzchak is the only one of the three avois whose name was never changed. A fascinating observation. Avram's name went from Avram to Avraham. Yaakov went from Yaakov to Yisrael. But Yitzchak's name never changed. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, Ulai, maybe that's why his name was never changed, Midah Keneged Midah. Because his whole legacy was what? I didn't change my father's name of the Be'erus. To the contrary, I kept it a constant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, your name will remain a constant as well. Midah Keneged Midah, that's what Rabbeinu Bachai says, Ulai, perhaps that's why his name never became changed. But either way, we see a fascinating parallel between Rabbeinu Bachai and the Ran. Yitzchok Avinu, in his moment of need, when he was sitting Shiva, didn't have his own son available. He was running around in the forest. That's not a true Bechor. But Yitzchok himself is the best example of what a Bechor really should be like, because he went out of his way to redig the Be'erus that his father dug, and not to give them new names, but to keep the old names. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, your name will be kept as well. Your name will never change. Fascinating Rabbeinu Bachai. I'd like to have a brief look. If you have Chumashim in front of you, it will help. Because there are fascinating diukim and psukim which are well worth looking at. Of course, the famous story, amongst others, in this week's parasha is the parasha of the brachos. So Yitzchak Avinu wants to give a bracha to his son Esav, and as we know, it ended up going to Yaakov. Now, if you have a chumash open in front of you, you will see something remarkable in the psukim, and it's worth pointing out. Have a look in Perek Chof Zayin, Pasuk Dalet. Chof Zayin, Pasuk Dalet. This is where the story starts. In Pasuk Dalet, Perek Chof Zayin, Pasuk Dalet, Yitzchak summons his son Esav and says, listen, I'd like to give you a bracha. Va'aseili, I'd like you to prepare for me what? Matamim. What does matamim mean? Delicacies. That means he doesn't actually spell out what's on the menu. It doesn't say which food should be brought for him. Just says, bring me matamim, bring me delicious foods. First time. Have a look now again, three psukim later, on Pasuk Zayin. When Rivka relays this to Yaakov, and she says, you know, I heard your father, Yitzchok, saying to Esav, look again in Pasuk Zayin, Hovio litzayid va'asei li matamim, again, second time, bring me matamim, delicacies, second time. Look then now in Pasuk Tes, two psukim later, so she says, you know what, Rivka says to Yaakov, if I were you, I would preempt Esav, and what does it say in Pasuk Tes? Again, you should go and prepare those matamim, those delicacies for your father. She does not stipulate or detail which foods we're talking about. This is now the third time that what does it say? Matam. Indeed, in Pasuk Yud Dalad 14, it says there, Vayelach, that's exactly what he did. And she made the delicacies. So far we have seen four times, but it's very vague. It just says delicacies. Delicious food, but it doesn't say what it was actually. Now, go to Pasuk Yudayin. Now he comes to his father Yitzchak, and what does it say in Pasuk Yudayin? Vatitein esamatamim. Ve'es halechem. All of a sudden, bread is mentioned. Es hamatamim ve'es halechem. The delicacies, but also the bread. What's this bread all about? Stranger still, if you look in Pasuk Chofhei, what does it say in Pasuk Chofhei? He says, bring me the food that I can give you the bracha, vayagesh loy vayoychal. Vayoveloi yain. All of a sudden, now he brings him wine. So four times matamim were mentioned. In addition, all of a sudden, lechem and yain. What is this lechem? What is this yain all about? So I'll be very honest, I can't remember if I actually thought of this myself or I heard this. Definitely the basis of it I heard. I can't remember if the continuation is an addition or I heard this from this Talmud Chacham at the time. But either way, it's very fascinating. If you have a Chumash in front of you, turn back to Parashas Lech Lecha. In Parashas Lech Lecha, Pasuk Perek Yud Dalad, Pasuk Yud Ches. Yud Dalad, Yud Ches, 14:18, Parashas Lech Lecha, this is when Malki Tzedek, who's Shem ben Noach, comes to greet Avraham Avinu following battle. So what does it say in Pasuk Yud Ches there? Umalki Tzedek Melech Shalem Hoitzi Lechem V'Yoyim. He brings Avraham Avinu bread and Yoyim. Lechem and Yoyim. Why did Malki Tzedek bring Avraham Avinu Lechem and Yoyim? The Targum Yoynesen there in Pasuk Yud Gimel, we have the Targum Unklus printed in our Chumashim. But in our Chumashim, they have also the Targum Unklus. And he says that that day was actually Pesach. This was the day of Pesach. We make mention of it in on Leila Seder. And in fact, some explain, therefore, if this episode, this battle, the four kings, the five kings, happened on Pesach, Seder night, that's why he was bringing him lechem and yayin. What's the lechem? Matzahs. What's the yayin? Arba kosos. That was the choice of menu. Lechem v'yayin. Now, if you look in that very parasha, again, Perek Yud Dalet in Lech Lecha, Posuk Tes Vov. Posuk Tes Vov. Pasuk Tes Vav, it says that during the battle, Vayicholik Aleihem Lailo, and the night was split. The night was split. If you look at Rashi, those who have Rashi in front of them, on Vayicholik Aleihem, on the word Lailo, Rashi says, Umedrash Agoda, what does that mean, the night was split? The first half of the night, this particular episode transpired. The Chetzi Hasheni, and what was the second half of the night? Nishmaru bo loy lechatzos laylo shel Mitzrayim. The other half of the night, as it were, comes to its completion in Mitzrayim. Which is perfect, because when did this happen? As we just said, on Pesach. So this is the beginning of the story, and then it ends up in Mitzrayim, and that's why there's Lechem and Yayin. Fine. So in similar vein, if we come back now to our parasha, look in Perek Chof Zayin, Posuk Tes. Chof Zayin Tes. Here we're told a little bit more about the menu, about what were these mata'amim. In Chof Zayin Tes, it says that Rivka tells her son Yaakov, Lech no el atzoim, Chof Zayin Tes, go to the sheep, and take what? Shnei gedoi izim toivim. And go and bring two goats. Why did Yaakov have to bring two goats? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shnei gedoi izim, v'chi shnei gedoi izim hoyo macholoi shel Yitzchak. That's what Yitzchak was going to eat. Two goats. Says Rashi, no, Elo Pesach Hoyo. This also took place on Pesach. Therefore, do you know why you need two? One for the meal and one for Korban Pesach. So once we know that what? That this episode happened on Pesach. In fact, if you look in Pasuk Chof Zayin, Chof Zayin, it says, Vayorach es reach bigdov, he smelt the smell of his clothes, says the Bala Turin. Do you know what the gematria of reach is? Leil Pesach. The gematria of reach is Leil Pesach. In which case, fantastic. So he brings him the matamim, that was the meal. But what else did he bring him? Lechem and yayin. Just like Malki Tzedek brought for Avraham Avinu, lechem and yayin, because Rashi told us that which night was that? And the Targum is Pesach, lechem is the matzos, and the yayin is the Arba Kreisos. Exactly the same over here as well. The lechem is the matzos, the yayin is the Arba Kreisos, because all of this is happening on Pesach. Now, says the Chasam Sofer, genius pshat. I saw this last night. The Chasam Sofer says, if you look, it says when he brought him the yayin in Pasul Chofei, look at the lashon of the pasuk. It says, "Vayagish loy vayoychal, vayovi loy yayin vayesh." He gave him to eat, and then he drank. And what was after that? Nothing. No more eating. Why is there no more eating? It says the Chasam Sofer, because you don't eat after the afikoman. On Seder night, there's no more eating. Once you get to the end of the meal, you can have yayin, but that's it. There's no more eating. No more eating. Not only that, if you now look in Pasuk Lamed Hey, Esav comes complaining, and he says to his father, "I can't believe what's happened. Would you please eat? Here, I'm going to bring you some food. Will you eat mine?" And what does Yitzchak say to him? Look in Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vayomer, Bo Ochicha B'mirmo. Your brothers come. What does it mean, B'mirmo? So it sounds like being sly, but if you look on that word b'mirma, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Rashi says one word, b'mirma, b'chochma. What does it mean, b'chochma? So I saw in the Paradis Yosef, he explains that was the chochma. Yaakov knew full well that any moment Esav is going to come in with his fruits. So how am I going to ensure that Yitzchak won't be able to eat his food? I'm going to go through the Seder night with him. I'm going to bring him the lechem and the yayin. Sorry, Esau, I can't eat after afikoman. Sorry. That was the chachma. That's what he says. Won't you eat my food? Sorry, your brothers came with mirma, with tremendous chachma. He's giving me afikoman. Eimaftir nachapesach afikoman. And again, if you look in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it says that he got terribly upset, Esav. And what does Yitzchak say to him in Pasuk Lamed Gimel? He says, "I'm sorry, v'oichal mikoil v'terem tovoy. I've already eaten everything." What does that mean, "I've already eaten everything"? In other words, says the Chasam Sofer, "I've eaten all I'm allowed tonight. Sorry, that's it. Restaurant closed. I can't eat anymore. It's otter. E maftir, achapesach, afiyaki koyman." That's the Be'er Yosef, the Paradis Yosef, the Chasam Sofer, based on those earlier psukim. Now, just in conclusion, so initially when I saw these various dukim and I saw the Achronim discuss it, I thought, fine, very interesting. Remez, Pesach, Lechem, Yayin, Afikoman, etc., etc., Reach, Gematria, Leil, Pesach. Until I saw in the Sefer Ksav v'Kabbalah. Now, people always get scared when you mention that Sefer, it's nothing to do with Kabbalah. Ksav v'Kabbalah. In the Sefer Ksav HaKabbalah, he talks about this at great length, and he says there's very deep meaning. It's not just that it happened to be, wow, remarkably, it ended up Leil Pesach, so he gave him lechem and yayin, and it was all. He says the following. He also quotes the Chazal, and he says, indeed, we know that this all took place on Leil Pesach, as was mentioned in Chazal. He said, the bris bein hapsorim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially told Avraham Avinu in the first place about what's going to happen in Mitzrayim, that also took place on Leil Pesach. So he says, that's why, it wasn't just a remarkable stroke of luck. That's why, if we can coin a word, you can have a reenactment, this was a pre-enactment. This was a pre-enactment, a deliberate pre-enactment on the part of Yitzchak. He wanted, as it were, set the stage for Seder night. He knew that today was Seder night, and he knew that in the future this is going to be a colossal night in the history of Klal Yisrael. This was a pre-enactment. Lochein, he says, Hishtadel Yitzchak B'Yosef. That's why Yitzchok made every effort. Lishmar Lailo Zeh. He chose this night. When he told Esav, this is the night I want to give you a brocha. And can you please bring me food? A lot of Mefarshim discussed this. What was the whole food? Food seems to be such a central stage in this whole story. Why is it so central? Says the Ksav Kabbalah, this was preempting the Seder night. Lechem v'yoyim. It wasn't just, oh, it happens to be Pesach, you know, it's a cute remez. This was a pre-enactment. And he says the most fascinating thing. He says, if you look in the Psukim, how was Pesach Mitzrayim? What happened in Mitzrayim? We know there's one word that really summed up the whole night. Bechipozim. What does Bechipozim mean? It all happened very hastily. The Loshon of the Pasuk there is indeed, how should you eat it? Mosneichem chagurim, naleichem baragleichem. You're all ready to go. You're out the front door. It was all Bechipozim. It was all Bechipozim. So therefore, Yitzchok instructs his son Esav, go and hunt food. When you hunt food, who hunts food? The traveler who doesn't have time to sit down like a mensch and sit down in his house. It all has to happen in haste. This was all a pre-enactment of the Seder night. And he says, therefore, that's why, if you look in the Psukim, when eventually Yaakov brings him his food, and he says as follows, Kumno shvo v'ochlo. What's kumno mean? How do you translate the word kum? Stand. Shvo, sit. Stand, sit. You're supposed to stand, you're supposed to sit. This was a pre-enactment of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Do you know why? There was an element of kum, because the Pesach, which is eaten in haste, when you're in a rush, you eat standing. But also, in addition to that, there was the Chagiga. There's the Korv Chagiga. The Chagiga is eaten, not the Chipozim. So there's the Kum, and there's the Shvo. Stand as a Zecha for the Korv Pesach. Shvo as a Zecha for the Korv Chagiga. And he says, therefore, also, he doesn't say so much that the Yain is because of the Arba Koseis, but he says, what's Pesach all about? They sang Shiro, the Ein Shiro Elo Al HaYayin, and that's why he bought the Yain. And he says in conclusion, that therefore answers the big question. Yaakov Avinu, for example, at the end of Sefer Bereishis, also benched his children. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the Torah, also blessed Klal Yisrael. We don't find over there that food takes such central stage. Yaakov Avinu summoned his children. He didn't say, please bring in the food, and then I will give you a bracha. V'zoysa brocha asher beirach Moshe. We don't find anything about food. Why is food so central over here? He says, this is the answer. Ein hamat'amin. The food were not necessary for the brocha. You can give brochas without food, as you see with Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu. But rather, hazman. This was the time for eating food. The brocha didn't require the food. But this was the time of year. This was Leil Pesach. And this was a pre-enactment of the whole Seder night. So therefore, initially, what seems to be just like a bunch of cute remozim, it was lechem, it was yain, it was vikoyman, it was chochma, etc., etc. But according to the Ksav Kabbalah, it's very, very profound. What was actually happening was this was a precursor to all of Seder night. This was the first Seder night in the history of Klal Yisrael. And that's why he chose this night, and that's why the whole notion of the Achila takes such central stage, the Achila of the Pesach, and the Achila of the Chagiga, and there's the Lechem and the Yayin, because this, in fact, was happening on Seder night.